Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
And now, 101 Things to Love About New York City from 1976. This Billy Joel song, released in 76, by the way. And we're talking about that year because recently one of our favorite local websites, Scouting New York, posted a June 13th, 1976 article from the Sunday edition of the New York Times, and it's a list, almost 40 years before the BuzzFeed listicle era, of 101 reasons to love New York City. Now, some of them will be familiar, people who whistle down cabs using their thumb and pinky finger or hating Con Edison. And some of the items on the list may furrow your brow. Anyone remember, quote, habitually fitting your thumbnail in the Y cutout of a subway token? We've posted a copy of the list on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Go there right now to follow along as we go through some of the highlights with Nick Carr, the man behind Scouting New York, who unearthed this list from the New York Times archives last month. Hi, Nick. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So how did you track down this list in the first place?
So the most obscure thing, I was doing an article on an unusual New York City beach called Dead Horse Bay, which is this odd beach way out in the Rockaways. And I was searching the New York Times website for any history on it. And as it happens, Dead Horse Bay comes up in the 60s on this list as something to love about New York City. And that struck me as odd because when you put Dead Horse Bay on your list of things to love about New York City, it might mean that you're grappling for other things to fill the list. So I thought the list, you know, I found that it's 101 things. I thought the list was going to be kind of funny in a retro sort of way. And a lot of it is actually somewhat sad. It's sort of written at a time where New York City is going through a down point in its history. And you have a lot of items on the list that are sort of about wishing New York City was a better place.
Hmm. So let's go through some of this together. And listeners, again, this is on our site if you want to follow along at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And then when you get a chance to look at the list, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, as we talk about this over the next few minutes, what jumps out at you when you go and look at the list? What's still the same? What's different? Call us on the air, 212-433-WNYC. And we will reserve some lines for those of you who remember 1976 and want to fill in some of the gaps. If there's something on the list you remember from the mid-70s that our younger listeners may not know about, give us a call. Later in the show, we'll take calls from people with nominations about what you'd add to the list in 2014 that couldn't have existed in 1976, but that'll be later. But Nick, let's dive in. And I want to start with the number one thing on the 1976 list. Quote, being nostalgic about things in New York that were never so great. And I feel like we could spend the entire show on just this item, but it's such great evidence that false nostalgia is a perpetual activity.
Absolutely. They say you'll always be nostalgic for a time that you didn't live in. And it's so funny because so many young people come to the city today and they're disappointed to find that it's not the gritty, rundown metropolis that you see in movies like The French Connection and Taxi Driver. And it's so funny to me that people in 1976 had the exact same feeling. They were being nostalgic for a time where New York City was a great city. A number of comments on my blog said that it sort of applies to people who had gone through New York's better times and were very, very sad to see how low the city had dropped.
But what were they nostalgic for in the 70s? Was it the good old 30s during the Depression or the good old 40s during World War II?
Honestly, that's my question too. I don't know if anyone out there knows. I would love to hear as well.
And you point out that there are a number of things on the list as we continue to go down it that could be grouped under loving to hate New York. For example, yeah. Number 26, the worst public image in the nation. Really? 29, how everyone else hates New York. 30, hating New York. And number 84, thinking what New York could be if only.
Yeah, I mean, the list was written literally a year or less than a year after the famous headline, Ford to City, drop dead. New York City has narrowly avoided a bankruptcy. Crime is at an all-time high. jobs are leaving the city. And a lot of the items, some of them are funny, like the ones about hatred. Others are just kind of sad. You have a whole number, a whole string of them. Things to love about New York City: libraries that haven't closed yet, hospitals that haven't closed yet, daycare centers that haven't closed yet, and people who haven't left yet. So there's sort of a sadness to what's become of New York when this list was written.
So let's take a call from someone who remembers 1976. Glenn in Montclair. You remember that year, right?
Yeah. Hey, Brian and Nick. It's Glenn Collins, and I wrote the original list in 1976.
Surprise, because we arranged for Glenn Collins to call in, Nick, the man who wrote that list way back in 1976. We tracked him down last night, and Nick Carr is sitting here blushing. He didn't know we would have him on the line. Glenn, you've been
I have to thank Nick. I'm really gobsmacked to read all of these comments on websites about a piece that I wrote nearly 40 years ago.
And you were a rookie at the time because you've been at the Times for 42 years, or you were nearly a rookie. You were a columnist for the dining section at the time. Now you're a contributing writer for the Dining Styles, Metro, and other sections. So what do you make of all this attention to your little article from way back in 1976 and Nick's take on it?
Le plus ça change, le plus c'est la même chose. The more things change, the more they remain the same. I mean, a lot of it is out of date. Certainly, we don't have tokens anymore. Army-Navy stores are kind of gone. There may be a couple of them. We don't have OTB. And you don't have to read the dirty restaurant list, you know, in newspapers. It's just right there in the restaurants with the ABC ratings. Yep. But it's surprising to me how much of it holds up.
And there are some things on the list that are perpetually true. Plus ça change. Number 25, the best water supply system in the nation. Number 34, alternate side of the street parking suspended. Ha. And 46, more movies, plays, and ballet than anywhere else. And not going. That is not going to anything, even though you think it's why you're here.
I guess that maybe some newer people in New York and younger folks don't know that our gorgeous, sleek, and wonderful New York City was once exuding the phosphorescence of decay. We loved New York back then, but it was hard to live there in the 1970s, as Nick was saying. And so this was kind of an ironically intended, kind of sardonic take on New York at the time, a love-hate relationship with it. But it did have to express love for New York because we all loved it then and we still love it now.
Nick, I noticed that one question you asked in your commentary after unearthing the list, how did one know if alternate side parking was unexpectedly suspended back in 1976? There were no apps. There was no, no Google.
Brian, have you heard of the radio?
I've heard of that.
In fact, I've heard you can get traffic reports every 10 minutes or so.
Indeed, and that's where we would hear that alternate side was also in newspapers that mentioned it. And we who, moved our cars twice a day and sat in our pajamas waiting for the street sweepers to pass, we kept track of this rather insanely and obsessively.
So, Nick Carr, anything you want to ask Glenn Collins now that you have him right here, the original purveyor of this 1976 list of 101 things to love about New York?
So one of my favorites on the list is number 8, dialing 873-0404. And I'm sure for most people listening, that's sort of a mystery. What is this phone number? Back in the 1960s to the 1980s, that was a dial-a-satellite hotline, which would tell you daily info about satellites passing overhead. My question is, was this such a it's number 8 on the list. Was this such a phenomenon back then? Was everybody calling up to see what satellites were passing overhead, or how did that come about?
I wanted something in the list that would be just kind of a delightful surprise.
Okay.
And frankly, everybody at that time, satellites were a big deal. It wasn't that long after Sputnik, and you could actually track satellites overhead. It was the strangest thing in New York, which, the most densely populated and urban area, and there you could look up in the sky and you could see a satellite. It was kind of a sense of wonder item.
How about number 50, the parachute jump in February? Some people on our Facebook page were surprised that the Coney Island parachute jump was still around in the mid-70s.
Yeah, it, I'm not certain that it was still functioning, but it was a glorious relict of the past, and especially in the winter, it was hauntingly evocative, and the winds would be whistling through it. And I, having as a kid gone on the parachute jump, I could remember all the screams of joy and fear. And in February, especially, it was just very ghostly.
Let's take a call. Megan in Hawthorne. You're on WNYC. Hello, Megan.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Good. When I read this list, I was just cracking up because I was just in the city. I live in Jersey. I've always lived in Jersey. And as a child, we used to go into the city a lot. My parents took me in all the time to see shows and go to dinner. But there was always that little bit of danger, especially, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, my mom would always be like, be alert, always know what's going on, have your eyes up, everything, pay attention to what's going on. Because there was, you know, it was that little bit of danger. But that's what made it exciting. And then when I go in with my kids now, you know, they could care less. They love the city. They love going to see shows. But, you know, we might as well be going to Paramus for, you know, all the danger involved in going into the city. And, you know, when we hang out in Times Square now and in the chairs in Times Square, which is one of the things I would add to a new list of things to love about New York, is the bistro sets in Times Square. But, you know, I don't know if, you know, when you think about going back to the graffiti and the squeegee men and all of that, would I really want it to go back to that? But on the other hand, you do miss that little bit of excitement of going into the big city, and it's, you know, it's a little dangerous. You never know what's going to happen. I think what touched me was number 97, that rush of relief when you're not mugged after you thought you would be. And I don't think anybody in New York really, you know, would say that was a big issue in New York
right now,
you know?
So Glenn, as someone who lived through that time, does your, I don't know if ambivalence is the word, but the kind of the list of pros and cons that Megan just articulated, does that ring true to you?
Absolutely. I mean, it was it was always a place that just always took you by surprise, but the level of danger was always there. It was the era of blackouts and Fort Apache, the Bronx, and the French Connection, and you know, my kids were mugged, and it's you know, now I'm sort of worried for so many of the younger people in the city who just walk around obliviously with their smartphones and don't really recognize that they are in a place where there is a potential for danger. But maybe that's just an old-timer who remembers the bad days.
So how about for you, Nick? Because you're younger and you don't have the perspective of 1976 and today, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always very careful about that. I never want to romanticize something that I didn't live through, because I think it's unfair to anyone who was actually here and is much happier that we don't have that threat as you're walking around the street. But what I've found – so I'm not comfortable saying that I miss it or wish it was back. But the one thing I found throughout years of doing my website is that people who did live through that time certainly miss it. You know, they don't love all the bad things about it. But there's sort of – New York City was accessible back then. It was cheap. You could live here. You could be an artist. You could live in communities like Soho and the Lower East Side and actually afford to kind of pursue whatever artistic endeavor you had in mind. And the fact that that's gone is something very sad to people who have lived during that time. And I respect that and I understand that. I think it's more a reflection of the direction the world has taken. You know, New York City has become safer because – that's just the natural progression.
Paul in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Brian. I was 12 years old in 1976, and if you recall, it was the 200th anniversary, the bicentennial of our nation, and everything had stars and stripes on it. T-shirts, hats, even the cakes. Everything had like a bicentennial coating. And I remember being in Battery Park, crowded, packed to the hill to watch the 200th anniversary fireworks display down at down by the Statue of Liberty. And the subway ride home was hot and packed. I'll never forget it. And I remember the Cincinnati Reds getting into the World Series.
1976. The Yankees got into the World Series in 1976 and got clocks cleaned by, I think it was that big red machine, but 1976. And, you know, he mentioned Glenn coming home on the hot packed subway that July night. Number 37 on your list was What to Love About New York, how 9 out of 10 people on the subway platform move back when the train arrives.
it used to be true. I don't know. I think it's still true for some of the old-timers, and anybody who's read about the latest mental patient who's pushed somebody off the platform, and especially since now there are announcements in the trains, you know, stand back. But I think a lot of people just are very blasé about it and pretty casual about it now. Maybe they don't have any sense of menace about the trains. I remember in the 70s, you would sit in the trains forever. You'd be stuck in the tunnel, and then not infrequently the train would start going backwards to the last station, and then you would be disgorged at the station trying to figure out how to get home. That doesn't happen anymore.
And can you believe that one of the items on the list, and a lot of people are flagging this as they follow along on our website, and if you're just joining us, you can see this list from 1976, New York Times, of 101 Things to Love About New York. One of them is no tornadoes. And, of course, we've now had two or three over the last few years in Brooklyn, so I guess you didn't anticipate the weird weather of climate change.
Absolutely not. And, you know, who knows whether there were tornadoes during the time of the Lenape Indians, but the truth is that we have had tornadoes, but there's some dispute about how many of them were really tornadoes and how many of them were microbursts. But that's a discussion for another time.
Really. So, Glenn, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for coming on and surprising Nick Carr, who unearthed your list and wrote it up and has gotten it to go viral on Scouting New York. So just tell us before you go, what other article that you wrote over the last 42 years do you wish people would go rediscover next?
You could read the last article I did. I took a buyout last year, and so I am still a contract writer for the New York Times after 42 years on the staff. And I did a story on all the restaurants in Washington Heights and the culture and the sociology of Washington Heights, and that appeared, I guess, in February or March, and you can check it on the website.
All right, living in the moment.
I would also like to say just that 84, number 84 on the list, did come true, thinking of what New York could be if only, and I think it is the greatest city that it maybe that it's ever been.
Glenn, thanks so much. Longtime New York Times reporter who wrote that original list of 101 Things to Love About New York City back in 1976. Nick Carr is the man behind the website Scouting New York, who recently unearthed the list and wrote about it on his blog. And in part two, and Nick, give us a little push into this. We're going to invite calls from people, and folks, we're going to clear the board of everybody calling up to remember 1976. And instead, we want you to call for the next segment with what you would add to a list in 2014 of what you love about New York City that didn't exist in 1976. So let's refresh the list of things to love in New York City, 2014 edition, 212-433-9692, things that would not have been true in 1976. And I'll just say, you can't all say low crime. There have to be other things. 212-433-WNYC. You want to start us off, Nick?
Sure. I would certainly put on that list that we have a street named after Joey Ramone, and we have a public park named after MCA of the Beastie Boys.
All right. So call us up right now with your list of things that you couldn't say about New York that were great in 1976. And yes, that is the Ramones, recorded in 1976. 212-433-WNYC. We're talking New York City, 1976. This song, Cathedrals, a minor hit in 76. But in it, can you hear the roots of hip-hop beats? November 1976 was when Afrika Bambaataa first started DJing at the Bronx River Community Center, spinning records like this. The early roots of hip-hop in 76. And we're talking 1976 because of the list of 101 things to love about New York City, published in the New York Times that year and unearthed by Nick Carr of Scouting New York just recently, getting a lot of notice online for this. And for our remaining 10 minutes, what would be on your list of things to love about New York in 2014 that could never have been on the 1976 version of the list? If you call really quick with your nominations, we can get you on the air. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And are you surprised, Nick, that our lines are totally full?
I'm not surprised. People love this city, and everybody's got the little part that they love best.
John in Valley Stream, what you got?
Hi, I just want to say that in 2014, I can get Shake Shack in Madison Square Park, sit on the grass, look at the art around it, and enjoy the city that could have never been done in the 70s.
That's right. All right. One of the renovated spaces.
I would agree. When it comes to food, New York City has never been higher than it is now. And one of mine on my list would be we have better lobster sandwiches here than the state of Maine. And that's just a
So you focused on the Shake Shack part. I focused on how nice Madison Square Park has gotten. George in Manhattan, what you got?
Okay. Well, we didn't have bicycle paths. We didn't have the Central Park Conservancy in 1976. We didn't have the friendliness. What we lost in 76 was the little communities, you know, like the Village and the feeling that you had a bunch of little small places like Little Italy or the areas
so
by the wall in the parks where people could run and enjoy the city in a way that wasn't available in 1976. You were afraid to go out on the street, and certainly you wouldn't run along the riverside.
George, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for all that. And Greg in Brooklyn, what you got today that you couldn't have had?
I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I was 19 in 76, and I will say three words: coherent subway announcements.
That's great.
End of story.
Thank you very much.
And anybody that doesn't pledge should really reconsider, because this is a great station. Thanks, guys.
You're very kind. Thank you very much. So, Nick, how much of that 101 Things to Love About New York list in 76 was subway related, would you say?
Oh,
you don't have to give me an exact
few things,
number.
Yeah, you always have the three or four things. I think the last one on the list was the Spanish announcement that you had on the subway back in the day, warning you to beware of the dangerous platform. So there were a few things.
Mitch in the East Village, you're on WNYC. What you got?
Hi, Brian. Well, a couple weeks ago, driving my taxi, I saw Fort Washington Japanese Dominican fusion restaurant, and I thought that could not have existed then when, you know, in the 70s, exotic food was Chinese or Italian almost exclusively. So now we've got dominions of food that we never would have considered. I'm living near a Himalayan restaurant, and so we've got everything.
Thank you. And certainly it was in the 70s, Nick, when the current immigration explosion really began. The immigration law of 1965 made it much easier for people from the Caribbean and Africa and Asia to come to New York. And by the 70s, that had really started to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But by 76, you know, people maybe didn't notice quite as much as they did by a few years later. Donna on Staten Island.
I would say access to water. It's just wonderful. Starting at Battery Park City, going all the way up the west side, the bike path, the walkways, 79th Street Boat Basin, which I love, the High Line, which is just so beautiful. None of that, you know, was even envisioned, I think.
Absolutely. And it's funny, if you think if a list like this had been written 150 years ago, one of the things on the list might have been swimming in the East River, swimming in the Hudson River. And hey, who knows, 100 years from now, maybe it'll be back on the list.
Mary in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, what you got?
Hi there. I've been here since 90. And three things that have made my life so much better. One is the proliferation of fertility clinics. I know they weren't around in 76, and I have a four-year-old, thank God, for 8 years of trying, and they got cheaper as the years went on, and there's many more. So thank you for that, New York City. Number two is affordable housing. I live in Harlem, bought a two-bedroom, two-bath with outdoor space, $200,000. Another big, huge one. And then the last one is just the biking around the city, which I love.
Thank you. Gee, I don't think a lot of people, Nick, would say affordable housing today compared to 1976.
No. Unfortunately, that's one of those things that just seems to be going through the roof.
Jack in Astoria, you're on WNYC. What you got?
Hi. In 76, I was 23 and used to sweat profusely on the subway. But nowadays, it's like I can't wait to get on the subway in the summer to cool off with the air conditioning. It's great.
We go to the subways to cool off. By the way, on the Leonard Lopate Show today, coming up in a few minutes, Chef Dan Barber talks about why America needs a radical overhaul in how we eat and farm. We'll find out about New York City cooking classes held in the homes of immigrant cooks from around the world. That's cool. And Ruth Kassinger talks about how knowing the basics of botany can help us be better gardeners. All coming up with Leonard after the news. See if we can sneak in a few more things that might be on your list of the 101 things to love about New York today that couldn't have been on the list from 1976 that we've been talking about. Richard in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. What you got?
The proliferation of gourmet cheese shops. Incredible cheese. Anywhere in New York, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, you could find it. You couldn't see that before. And the other thing is related to the subway, the fact that the lights stay on now. It used to be when you'd ride the subway, the lights would go off for no apparent reason for stretches, but now they stay on the whole time.
What's your favorite kind of exotic cheese?
Oh, God. Probably one from Switzerland, rather, called Hockey Brig.
Thank you. Does it have holes? Oh, he didn't hear me. Okay. Maybe not all Swiss cheese has holes. Sandra in Manhattan, what you got?
I love the MetroCard because I no longer have to stand in those incredibly long subway lines only to face a rude, tired subway booth worker.
So it's funny, on the list, the third one on the list was habitually fitting your thumbnail in the Y cutout of a subway token was the thing to love about New York. And I wonder, what do people do nowadays with Metro cards that sort of fits that pick your teeth? I mean, is there something? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Do you fiddle with your Metro card, Sandra, in any particular way?
No, not really.
Too bad.
And soon enough, they say that's going to be gone, and we're going to all get ourselves into the subway with our phones. So we're going to have to make another nostalgic trip down memory lane to Metro cards. I don't know if they'll be so, you know, nostalgia-filled. But Nick Carr from the website Scouting New York did everybody the great service of unearthing this 1976 New York Times list of 101 things to love about New York. Thanks so much for bringing it onto the air with us.
Great to be here.
And as we end with more of the sounds of 1976, the Fania All-Stars from the huge salsa show at Yankee Stadium that summer.